My name is Nilanjan Sarkar, and I am the Deputy Director of the South Asia Center here at the London School of Economics. And before I begin to introduce the evening, I thought it might be useful to just tell you what is going to happen this evening and how we hope to manage it both manually as well as electronically. We have four speakers, of whom you can see two at the moment. The other two will join us by Skype, Elizabeth Lynch from Italy and Shahid Mahmood Nadeem from Lahore. And after my introduction, we will show a brief film on Madiha, which Shahid has sent to us. It's 15 minutes long, but we will only show the first 5 minutes, and we hope thereafter that we will be able to upload it on our website so you can see the complete film later on, because we would like to get on with the discussion. The four of them will speak. We can then have a Q&A, a discussion. I already have some questions, having spoken with both of them and with Elizabeth and Shahid earlier. It'll be useful to have a Q&A, but as I'm sure all of you know, there is absolutely no compulsion to ask questions. So with that, can I please begin with welcoming all of you and thanking you for coming this evening. I'm very grateful to Dr. Adnan Khan, who's our colleague here at the London School of Economics, for suggesting that we do this event to celebrate. And I use the word celebrate very consciously over here, the life and work of Madiha Gohar, in as much as I have no doubt that this small but exclusive crowd grieves as much as it celebrates her passing, her very unfortunate and very untimely passing earlier this year from cancer. But nonetheless, it is a celebration. And this is the reason why we at the South Asia Center think that it is a celebration. It is a celebration because it takes more than being ordinary to use the performing arts to create civic spaces in society which will become relevant and meaningful and become sites of protest, sites of information, sites of redressal, sites of civic action and activism. And Madiha was unique in being able to do it in the Pakistan not of today, but the Pakistan of the 1980s. I don't think anyone here wants me to explicate on how the Pakistan of the 1980s was different from the Pakistan of today. And it is therefore an absolute privilege to be able to curate, convene, and imagine an evening of this type. There are several aspects to Madiha's personality, none of which I am myself qualified to speak about at any length, and all the speakers here are, I'm delighted to say, able to speak much better. Each of them has a personal connection with Madiha, which is why we have requested them to be here. However, I did want to say that even as an outsider, even as an armchair follower of performing arts, the very fact that someone could set up a theater company with a name like Ajoka, just the name, just the choice of word, the unique creativity of which lies in the fact that the name itself will never go out of fashion because it will forever refer to the contemporary and will forever refer to the today and to the present, I think is a mark of the kind of an intensity of creativity that we have come to associate with Ajoka over a long period of time, over the decades that it has been around. Its work is extremely well documented. Its work is worthy of doctoral research in terms of its impact, in terms of its creativity. But what is equally important is to draw attention to how its work was actually part of a dotted line that spreads across different countries in South Asia, in Sri Lanka, in India, in Nepal, creative theater, street theater, but not just street theater, even proscenium theater, to create these sorts of civic and social spaces. I'm delighted, therefore, that each of the speakers this evening will be able to speak from various perspectives, and it is my most pleasant duty to introduce all of them. I will do the introductions now so that thereafter it is uninterrupted. And we have worked to some extent to decide the order in which each of the speakers will speak so that you get to hear different aspects, not only of Madiha's work, but also of Ajoka's work. We will begin with Dr. Adnan Khan, my colleague here at the London School of Economics. Adnan has had many lives, and in the very early life, please, why don't you come and join us here? It'll be good. In a very early life, Adnan actually worked in the with Madiha in the early years of Ajoka, when Adnan was a student and later when he was still resident in Lahore. And we have requested Adnan, therefore, to speak on the early years and his own engagement with it, but of course talk about Madiha as well. To my right is Sanjoy Roy. Sanjoy has many hats, but at one time, he was very, very deeply involved with the Theatre Action Group in Delhi and knew Madiha, especially because of her initiatives to create theatre as a space for harmonious debate between Pakistan and India. You don't need me to say why there is need for harmony, but it was a very useful thing. And Sanjoy is, of course, also the co-founder and managing director of Teamwork Arts. Teamwork Arts does several very interesting creative events and is singularly responsible for the Jaipur Literary Festival, which is known across the world. After Sanjoy, we will invite Elizabeth Lynch, who is currently in Italy. Elizabeth is chair of the Board of Trustees of Arts Catalyst, is an arts producer, a programmer, a coach, and a consultant, otherwise based in London. Elizabeth's personal connection with Madiha is that one of the things that Ajoka used to do was that in order to blend the various types of performative experiences, Ajoka used to have residency workshops. And Elizabeth Lynch was personally invited by Madiha to be part of one of the residency workshops in Lahore, which she did do, and Elizabeth is keen to share those experiences with us. At the end, we have the privilege of having Shahid Mahmood Nadeem, who has been Madiha's co-traveler in all senses of that word. And Shahid himself is, of course, an award-winning journalist. He's a playwright, he's a screenwriter, theater and television director, is also a human rights activist. Shahid has very kindly agreed to speak on two aspects. Adnan will speak on the initial years. Shahid will speak on the later years, bringing it up to date with what Ajoka is up to now. But he will also speak about Madiha's singular initiatives to use theater as a possible space for dialogue in the geopolitics of the region, most principally in the relations between Pakistan and India, which I am sure all of you over here know are two sovereign nations that stand on a shared cultural geography. I will not say more. We will now have the film. The film will start and finish in 5 minutes. It's a 15-minute film, so it will stop suddenly in between, but we just don't want to take it. Are all of you happy to see it for 15 minutes? We are happy to show it. Yeah? 15 minutes? Is that fine? Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to go and sit there? I'll go and sit. Thank you. We'll come back here once the film is
لاہور سے خبر شامل کریں گے معروف اداکارہ مدیحہ گوہر انتقال کر رہی ہیں
Theatre was founded in the early 80s by a group of young cultural activists who were opposing the dictatorial rule of General Zia-ul-Haq. Pakistan had been turned into a cultural wasteland. We tried to create a space for not only a political dissent but also cultural activism through our theatre.
छोटे से लेवल पे एक इंडियन प्ले था जुलूस उसको अडेप्ट किया आपने हमने जो रोइंग एक मिलिट्री मुल्ला नेक्सस के लिए थोड़ा प्ले तो कर दिया एजेंसी से पीछे लग गई मेरे खिलाफ जाहिर है गवर्नमेंट ने शो कॉल्स नोटिस इशू किया लंदन में मेरी शाहिद से हुई मुलाकात मैंने इन्हें कहा कि आप एक नया प्ले भी जोगा के लिए लिखें दैट्स हाउ 1987 मार्च में बड़ी जो है ये प्ले हमने गर्ट इंस्टीट्यूट में चेंज किया
तो जरूरी जिक्र था कि मेरे घर में घुसते ही वो कर देती आप मालिक मकान कर रही हैं
अरे नहीं बेटा जाओ ना साबरा खाले को इत्ता करो तेरे कदम कितने मुबारक ने इधर रहने का अच्छे पैर नहीं रखा और देन मेरे पुत्र की नौकरी पक्की हो गई तो वही चे जीवे मेरा लाल
हट पीछे हट हट पीछे हट
तरीके से तैयार नहीं की गई उन्हें बैन करा दिया गया। in a way, irritates. Maybe as a theatrical person, Madiha Gaur also enjoys the ruckus.
सबसे बड़ा जो मैं समझती हूँ हमारा तकरीबन 30 साल से स्ट्रगल रही है वो फंडामेंटलिज्म के खिलाफ रही है पाकिस्तान में भी और पूरे रीजन में ये मैं समझती हूँ कि बहुत बड़ा प्रॉब्लम है और जितना इसको एक्सपोज किया जाए कि किस तरह मजहब को इस्तेमाल करके जो है नफरत और तशद्दुद का एक घिनौना खेल जो है वो खेला जा रहा है और उसका नतीजा जाहिर है कि खासा भयानक होता है जो कि हम देख सकते हैं इस तमाम एरिया में।
We stand here today after 25 years. I think it's quite overwhelming.
Personal quest has been this discovery of who really I am, what it means to be a Pakistani. Mm. Is there anything, you know, does it really mean something? Is my identity informed by my religion or by my being living in the Punjab? And I am, you know, sort of an excellent example because I'm not really, my parents were, my mother was from Indian Gujarat, she's Gujarati speaking, my father was from the frontier, my husband is Kashmiri, he was born in Kashmir. So my children, you know, they're it's a composite sort of a culture which they're growing up in and with different languages, different cultural traditions, historical traditions. And I feel that is something so beautiful.
Thank you. इंसानी जगह पर हम मिल रहे हैं और संस्कृति से कल्चर से मिल रहे हैं, उस कल्चर से भी ज्यादा उस थिएटर से मिल रहे हैं जो हमारे आर्ट फॉर्म में सबसे स्ट्रांग होता है।
Thank you, everyone. We are actually delighted we were able to show the complete film, because as you saw, it's actually a very nice film and covers various aspects of Madiha's work and of Ajoka's work, both in Pakistan, in South Asia, etc., etc. We are going to try and make our connections with Shahid and with Elizabeth so that they can also hear into what is happening at the moment. But without losing any more time, could I please request Adnan to speak, and followed by Sanjoy. Yeah, I won't interrupt.
Thank you, Nilanjan. And thank you, South Asia Center. Thank you, Sanjoy. Thank you, Shahid, and everyone, all of you, for being here. As a Pakistani, this is a unique moment where, in the past few months, we have lost two legendary women, Madiha and Asma Jahangir, of course. I had the honor of working with both of them. But as Nilanjan said, this is a moment to celebrate their life and to commemorate and celebrate. So let me say a few things about Madiha and Ajoka. I'll say something about the context in which Madiha and established Ajoka, something about her contribution and why it is relevant today. But to begin with, let me say that for me, Madiha and Ajoka's work is a product of, not just a product of, but also shaped by and itself shaped three different things. So one is the times, and I'll quickly describe what I mean. And then the cultural descent.
Before that, can we just check if Shahid and Elizabeth, both of you, can hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Shahid, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Thank
great.
You.
Thank you. Sorry, Adnan, please.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Great for you to be here, both Shahid and Elizabeth. So three different circumstances, the times, the cultural descent, the cultural factor, and then also they call it the creative or the artistic side. And all three in some ways shape Madhya and Ajoka, and in turn were shaped by Madhya. First the times, the late 70s and the 80s. There come times in the history of nations which can only be called dark times. And the measure of a nation or a person is how they deal with those times. Through silence, acquiescence, or resistance. And no time, at least in my mind, I hope all of you agree, Pakistan has had more than a fair share of dark times, but none of them was darker than the time that we had in the Zia period. So first, that was the time. And the choice was whether we adopt silence, acquiescence, or resistance. But then resistance takes many forms, political, social, mobilization. And I'm not here to say that one is superior to others. All of them are relevant, important. But the form that Madhya and Ajoka took, cultural, is also very important. Is no less important. It's very important for the reason that A, it not only speaks to the here and now, but takes something from our collective consciousness, maybe collective unconsciousness also. It relates to that, builds on it, and then shapes something which also has long-term implications. And while all forms of resistance, even sloganeering, have their role, cultural dissent also has a deep impact and a deep role. And the history of the part that we come from, also we have a long and rich history where cultural dissent has a long history, where we had both individuals who epitomize moments, social moments, who not only symbolize the voice of the people, but also in turn shape that voice. So historically, we had, at least in that part of Punjab, we had Madhu Lal Hussain, we had Bulle Shah, we had Faiz in our era, and many others. Madhya was one of them also. So when we hear the history of that resistance, when we hear Sach Aakhyan Bhambad Machta Hai, Bulle Shah Sa Marna Nahi Gor Pya Koi Hor, or Mia Gal Suni Na Jave Sachi, Sachi Gal Sunewe Kikan Kachi Haddaan Vich Rachi. So those who have corrupt to their core, it's very hard. They can't accept the truth. Or when Faiz says, Zulm ke mato lab kholo, chup rehne walo chup kab tak. Kuch hashr to inse uthega, kuch dur to na le jayenge. So that has a deep resonance. And that brings me to my third, I would say, like the influencer or the shaper of Madhya and Ajoka's work, which is art and creative expression, which is also very different from, related to, but also very different from others. It is shaped by its circumstances, but also one quality of great art and great cultural expression is, it's very rooted, it's very connected to the struggles of here and now, today's struggle, which may seem very transient. But the quality of great art is, in relating to the here and now, to the transient, it also transcends that moment. It also relates to, resonates beyond its time. And all of those three, the time, the cultural dissent, and call it the creative artistic expression, is the context of Madhya's and Ajoka's work. For Madhya, and Ajoka was at the center, call it a key protagonist, not just at the, like a passive recipient, but a key protagonist in all three of these. There were no darker times in Pakistan's history than the time that we mentioned, when no need to mention, where all kinds of things happen. Arrests, tortures, where every form of dissent was silenced. And the regime also realized that cultural forms of dissent were some of the most insidious and threatening. And they had to be silenced far more than just the formal, physical, political forms of protest. So Madhya was at the center of it, as you saw, that in the struggle for women's rights, human rights, minority rights, democracy. both in the raw physical Gori form, the 12 February 1983, the famous lathi charge at the Mall Road that many of you, I'm sure, here would remember. The blood was of very innocent women was spilled on the streets of Lahore. But also even before that, in government college, even in 1980 when Men Without Shadows was, and my friend Saklan Imam is here, he can tell the history, that how a play stage in a college in Lahore, in a government college in Lahore, became in some way the voice of the nation, how this regime felt threatened by a play stage in a college, and the extent to which it went to stop that play, and the extent to which all the protagonists, and especially Madhya, went to let the play happen, despite all this, the cost that she had to bear. And her struggle and protest was not just a struggle in the street.
So can you just say a bit about Men Without Shadows?
Men Without Shadows was a play, and that's a stage with a play about against fascism. That was played, whereas formally it was against fascism, but it was very clear of who it was about. Yeah, Jean-Paul Sartre's play. Yes. It is about the Nazi occupation of France, but it was very clear who it was about when it was staged in Pakistan and why it mattered. And it was very clear to the people who...
It was the first initiative of those days when General Zia's draconian rule had completely silenced all political activities.
Yes.
Officially, under the Marshall Ordinance, there was no complete ban on political activities. And this play, which was staged at the Government College Dramatic Club, Buhari Auditorium, it wasn't a political activity, it was a cultural activity of the college, at college level.
Yes.
But it was watched by all intellectuals, left intellectuals, and those who did not at that time dare to speak up. They all came to watch it, and even Munnu Bhai and many of the columnists of the left, of the center, or leftist, they wrote about it. And it was the first initiative in those days, for the first drop of rain against General Zia's regime after much time.
Yeah. Thank you, Saklan, for he was a key part of that, so he remembers that history far more than me.
And it was done in Urdu as...
No, it was done in government college, and it was... So, hers was not just a political struggle, but she established, first did these plays, but then established in 1983 Ajoka, and then staged Jaloos in 1984, Badal Sarkar's play that you saw a little bit. Badal Sarkar and Jaloos was an electrifying moment. So to me, there was a life before Jaloos and a life after Jaloos. So it gave voice not only to political expression, but also a political expression through creative cultural means. And it had an electrifying influence. And I remember the lines that Brecht says, in the dark times, will there also be singing? Yes, there will also be singing about the dark times. And Ajoka's work, Jaloos was the first. The next one was Chak Chakkar. Chak Chakkar was Bertolt Brecht's play, Caucasian Chalk Circle, about the struggle in an imaginary scintillation state. The play is really about those who deserve ownership and other things, love and other ownership, are far more deserving of those than those who are formal, call it property rights over those. So that was also my first play with the Ajoka. I participated in that play. More than 3 decades ago, was staged at, first time it was staged in Goethe Center and then in many other places. And still, I think every scene and every line of that play still rings in my ears. And especially the last, ending, there was a character in that play called Mudabbar Khan in Azdak in the original, who's a guy who comes and establishes just rule and then disappears. And I remember my friends Khalid Gill, who again passed away, and Tariq Azim, who were the narrators of the play, saying these lines at the very end, the last line that ended the play, about this guy who was in translation called Mudabbir Khan. Aur phir dekha nahi kisi ne Mudabbir Khan ko. Ud gaya jaise tinke ki tarah. Lekin yaad rakha logon ne use. یاد رکھا اسے اور اس کے عجیب و غریب انصاف کو. بچہ اس ماں کا پیار کرتی ہے اسے جو, کھیت اس دہقان کا کام کرتا ہے اس میں جو, گاڑی گاڑی باندھ کی اینڈ سو آن اینڈ سو فورتھ. بیوٹیفل پلے, آلسو لائک ریزونیٹڈ وتھ پیپل. سو دیٹ واز جسٹ دا بگننگ آف آئی تھنک کریٹولی مدیہ ورک and Ajoka's work got a huge fillip when Shahid Nadeem started writing. You saw clips of several other plays, Bari, It, Lappad, many other plays. So those plays collectively are, like, call it our collective legacy. So they not only influence their age, but in some way live beyond their age. Also had an influence in formation of new groups. I myself went to Lok Rehearse, and then there was Sanj, and then Dastak and Karachi, and Bang, and many other groups. So Madhya in some ways helped seed many groups. But why is it relevant today? Let me end, and I think Shahid will talk more about, and other people will talk more about other aspects of their work. Why is it relevant today? To me, it is even more relevant today than it was in that age. Partly because of the quality, the creative expression, as I said, that it resonates beyond its time. The themes that it talks to are also live beyond its time, are still relevant today. But also the context, unfortunately, in which those original plays and those that work started in the 80s and also partly in the 90s is still relevant today. For there still are dark times. But one difference that we have, and for which I think Ajoka and this work is even more relevant today than it was at that time, is whereas that time the original, the genesis was marked by state repression. Maybe for me the worst period of state repression in Pakistan's history. But as Toynbee says, the greater the challenge, the greater the response. So it also spawned some legendary, both Madhya, Asma, legendary responses. But today what we have is not just state repression, but also social suffocation. For a lot of harm that Zia did, textbooks and other things, is also like many of the chickens of Zia's age are now coming home to roost. So just think of the life of Mashal Khan. And there I think it's theater and cultural expression is even more important because it can not only deal with the, call it the black and white, so whether you are for something or not, which political activism and a lot of others can also do, but it can also deal far more effectively with the shades of grey, where it is not just clear, where, call it like, there are deep-seated biases among all of us, where it is hard for them to take a straight line, where theater and cultural expression helps people to confront their own biases in a way that political activism and many other forms perhaps will not be able to. So they all have their own role. That's why I think that if you have to change the Pakistan of today, and not just Pakistan, the region, the world, theater, cultural expression, Madhya's work, Ajoka's work, and not only their own work, but the work that it spawned, is far more relevant today, not just in struggling against state repression, but also social suffocation. That requires many different tools, where cultural expression and is far more relevant. The last thing I'll say is, when the history of this age is written, Madhya will be known as a better angel of our nature, as a key protagonist of our times. And as Brecht said, in my time, streets led to the quicksand. Speech betrayed me to the slaughterer. There was little I could do. But without me, the rulers would have been more secure. This was my hope. So the time passed away which on earth was given me. And all I can say is Madhya rattled the powers that be and made them far more insecure than they were earlier. Thank you.
Can I just check that Shahid, you and Elizabeth can hear everything that's happening here? Is that fine?
Yes,
thank you. Yes,
okay, great, thank you. Sanjoy will speak now, and then Elizabeth will come to you.
Thank you, Nilanjan, and thank you, Nadeem and Nadir, for getting me here on this occasion. I wish, Shahid Bhai, you were here. I'd love to give you a jappi puppy, and I was really looking forward to actually seeing you. As they say, you know, the good die young, and I'm sure wherever Nadira is, whether it's in Jannum or in heaven, she must be organizing some kind of theater protest out there, either against the devil or in paradise. So wherever you are, Nadira, more strength to you and continue to be everything that you stand for. The arts, as we all know, especially given what we see today, is always considered to be the other. And yet, every general across the age has always considered the arts as something that they should be threatened by. The artists, philosophers, dancers, singers, etc. Why? Because they reflect a real world. They put a mirror to your face. They tell you what you should know. And especially in today's age, and ages change, fundamentals change, but what doesn't change is the power structure. Those who have power, and finally, it's always about power. And it's irrespective whether it's the left, right, center, man, woman, child, finally it comes down to power. And if you have power, you use it. And in most times, more times than others, you use it to be able to suppress everybody else who's not in a position of power. And artists across the age, perhaps because they're eccentric, perhaps because they have a volition to speak or write or act, perhaps because they in many ways reflect and many ways address the problem of the time. And for most people who are in power, that is a problem. I think what Ajoka did in its time was really take to the people a particular energy. Becky a little while ago was asking me, so how is street theater different and what does it do to people? It's the exchange of energy. And when you're there real on the street, and the very fundamental of what you're trying to say, whether it's against sati or dowry or against a particular fundamental tradition or dictatorship or whatever it is, it's that message that you're exchanging with them, one to the other. That's what leaves an impression. That's what changes the mindsets. It's the WhatsApp of all times. It has the energy. It has the kind of spirit to be able to reach out deep into your soul, into your minds, and leave an impression which is indelible. For Madiha, for Shahid Bhai, to have done what they have done in a time that we know there are good times and there are bad times, and there is always difficult times, but to stay true to yourself, to your writing, to your art, your fundamentals. It takes guts. It takes bravery. It takes an artist, his deepest belief in his form. Today, the world over, everywhere from America all the way to the Philippines, we see the rise of a new fundamental. And why is that a rise? Because people like you and me are complicit in silence. By being complicit in silence, we allow the bullier to bully. We allow the fascist dictator to be able to dictate to us. When we stand up, and we stand up for our rights, for each other, as people, united. There is nothing, there is no power on earth that can stop that movement. For Madiha, for Shahid Bhai, for Ajoka, for all the artists, for the Pirzadas of the world, everybody who's fought against dictatorship, fought against a particular mahol, they have understood the intrinsic need for their voices to be heard. I've just come from New York today. I was in America for a couple of days last week. And again there I've been seeing the need for voices. Are there these voices? Is there that kind of fundamental urge where you can go out onto the streets and be able to move people? And if somebody stops you, you do it in the garden of your mother's house, or you do it in a university. No, there isn't. Because each of us have a need. We believe that success is about money. We believe that those skeletons in our proverbial cupboard are rattling so hard that somebody will open that and take you to task, and then all your resources will go away. For those people involved in the arts, and Jay is here, and Meera is here, and I'm sure many of you are here, choosing something or choosing the art is a lifestyle choice. You want to own an aircraft or a yacht? Join a bank. You want to make an impact? You want to transform the world? You want to share your soul, your ideas? You want to open your heart? And there is no other place but to be, but in the arts. To write a poem, to sing a song, to tell a story, to act, to enact, to hear. And why? Why do we do it? Day after day, someplace, irrespective of the enormous odds that you face. Because you have a volition. You have no choice. You're helpless. Could Meera do anything else? Could Jay do anything else? Could I have done anything else? Could Madiha have done anything else? Would Nadeem have given up his writing for a fancy job in Goldman Sachs? Of course not. Because each of us are driven in a particular way. And what is it that the arts does? It gives us an opportunity to see a particular thing from many different perspectives. Is CNN right? Is Fox Television right? Is Imran Khan right? Is Nawaz Sharif right? Is Modi right? Is Rahul Gandhi right? In their own ways, everybody has a perspective. Like Rashomon, you can look at the fundamental of that one sentence in 6 or 7 or 10 or 20 different ways. And none of them will be wrong. Because each of us come to the table with a different perspective. And if you're part of the arts, that's the one thing that you can celebrate. Celebrate the fact that you will not have a dogma. Because you're always thinking, what if I thought like Nilanjan? What if I thought like Nadir? What would Meera think? What would Jay perform? And in that thinking, you open your mind. And in opening your mind, you celebrate life itself. Madiha's energy, I think, was in many ways an epitome of life in itself. She celebrated that. She walked into a room and you know that there was a star in your presence. Shahid Bhai, the quiet writer, you know, at the back, doing his work, creating the expression. All of that, the energy of that, of making it possible, in spite, despite everything that stands against you, you need special people to be able to do that. And I think Ajoka in many ways embodied that spirit. When Pakistan and India, two places divided by, in many ways, the country that we are all part of today, the colonial rulers who decided one day that, yes, let's divide and rule, neither will survive, and they will always rue the day that this happened. And they made that division and they split us, tore us asunder. And in the most difficult of times, I remember Madiha and Shahid Bhai came and said, can we bring together these two countries? Can we bring together Zorapa, who used to call me Jesus for some reason? Jesus, you have to make this happen. I need to see my sister. And Uzraapa coming together on that stage to celebrate 60 years of separation. You know, separation for what? By whom? Are we not the same people? Do we not have the same color skin? Do we not have the same blood that flows through our veins? Do we not celebrate the same festivals? Do we not protest about the same problems? We are the same. And yet the politicians and the powers that be, and those behind the politicians and the powers that be, they ensure that the voice, that very voice that's able to bring together and celebrate the differences and celebrate the fact that we are one, that we are humanity, that we are people. For them, it's a question of power. And finally, in the telling of that story, be it through theater, be it through her writing, be it through all the stuff that she did, everything that she did was about standing up to that power, making sure that we didn't keep quiet. And the reason that's brought me here, apart from being having an opportunity to say hi to Shahid, was really to say, there's war out there across the world. We tend to be polite because we're liberal, maybe left of center. We think there's a decorum. Forget it. If you're going to fight the war, you have to fight it with strategy and ensure that we win. And to be able to win, the only way to do it is through a collective voice. And it doesn't matter what nationality, what color of skin, what sex, what anything. We have to stand together to be able to defeat fascism and power in every sense of the word. And if you really want to celebrate Madiha and Ajoka and everything that they stood for, then stand up and add your voice and join the movement. And don't keep quiet when there's an assault, whether it's on social media or on television or anywhere. It is your responsibility. It is our duty, our collective duty, to stand up, whether it's a Trump or a general or a Modi or a Duterte or whoever it is. And we can do it through the arts. And yes, they will feel threatened. And yes, we will bring about change, because change will come, irrespective. So thank you all for being here, and thank you, LSE, for making this happen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sanjoy. We're going to get to Elizabeth, because I know there's a slight question of time for Elizabeth. But I think it is fair for me to say to everyone that it is quite apparent why Zohra Segal would be calling you Jesus after hearing this. Elizabeth, would you like to speak now?
Thank you. And thank you very much for asking me to contribute to these conversations this evening. And it's been wonderful to listen to the speakers. And I especially liked what Sanjay said about not being quiet and making trouble, which of course is what Madiha did a lot. Madiha and I met in 1984 at a workshop led by Badal Sherpa, that great exponent of speech theatre. And at the time, I was working in the East End of London, making work with mostly teenagers and young adults. And we made a lot of words in the public realm, in the street, because a lot of the people I was working with didn't go to the theatre. They wanted to give young people a voice about the issues that they cared about. We wanted to be in the public realm, not inside a theatre where their friends and family would see them. And we wanted to make theatre not for young people, but with and by them. And I think that's a really important development in working in the public realm since the 80s, because the legacy of the 60s and 70s generated a lot of street theatre that was led by middle-class liberals telling other people what they ought to be thinking, rather than really reflecting always what they felt. And I was very struck when I went to work with the Joker in Lahore in 1989 that the company that they'd assembled to work with me in the workshop was really drawn from very diverse social backgrounds. And it was great to see that work that we're doing in London being mirrored in Pakistan, and it was very inspiring for me. I think with Dara that came more recently to the National Theatre, that was a fantastic achievement to have the first play by a Pakistani playwright at the National. And of course, Makia had directed the production in the original production in Lahore. And I've seen the video, and of course it was absolutely wonderful. And as with work on the street, she and Nadine were doing lots of things there in that piece. They were ravishing the eye with fantastic visuals, which is so important when you want to arrest a wide audience. But it was entertaining, of course, beautiful dances and singing, but there was also challenging content that provoked people and made reflect on really serious issues and informed us, but also did another really important job in theatre, which I think Sanjay was talking about earlier, which was to uplift us, make us feel we can take action and that there is something that we can do, even though it may be a small thing. I think that in 1984, I was thinking today about street theatre, and I was thinking about a big outdoor piece that I worked on with people in the East End. We had these huge effigies of Margaret Thatcher and of Ronald Reagan. We did a whole city's a dance piece, and we burnt the effigies. And we didn't have to ask anybody's permission to do that. I don't think we could do that today. I saw the kerfuffle last week about the giant inflatable Trump. We had to get the mayor's permission to fly it above the procession. And it was very uplifting to see that procession. That was a real piece of street theatre with all the witty placards, some carried by very young children. So I think street theatre, maybe not the same as it was in the 70s and 80s, but I think the public realm is still a really important part in a democratic an important part of our civil society that we take to the streets and express ourselves and to challenge and fight for the values that we think are important. But unfortunately, another reason why work in the public realm of street theatre has declined is because our public spaces are becoming increasingly privatised. We have shopping centres, we've got private developers. I walked along to the Brassus Power Station by the river last weekend to see some performance, and I was met by some security guards, not stopping us, but the public realm is privatised and it's being policed. And that's a great shame. That's a threat to the quality of our civic life. And of course, we don't have anything of the struggles that you face and continue to face in Pakistan, but we need to be alert and vigilant. We work together a little bit, worked in Lahore, but we became good friends and we had a lot of fun together going to see theatre. I'm really, really proud of Madiha. Her pioneering artistic vision did so much, as has been mentioned, to further better conversations between the peoples of Pakistan and India. And her legacy will remain in the generations of theatre makers she has inspired and motivated. She was indeed really courageous and tenacious in her passion and commitment to social justice, particularly the cause of women and the voices of those most marginalized in the community, and should be greatly, greatly missed. Her final resting place is in our hearts and minds. And I'd just like to take a quote from The Bridge of San Luis Rey by John Wilder. There's a land of the living and a land of the dead, and the bridge is love, the only survival, the only meaning. And finally, another quote from Langston Hughes' poem. Hold fast to dreams, but if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is the barren field frozen with snow. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. I should mention here that when we started the event, I had introduced you as well as Shahid. I'm aware that there's a question of time. You're an hour ahead of us in Italy, so if you can stay longer, we'd be very grateful, but if not, I understand that you have to leave. Shahid, would you like to speak now? We see a still photograph of yours, which is quite dynamic because you have quite a lot of light behind your photograph. But yeah, Sanjoy is saying it's a bit like birthday candles. But if you can switch your camera on, then that's fine. If not, we are more keen to hear you. I should mention to the audience here that earlier in the year, Shahid was here at LSC. The South Asia Center, when it started in 2015, one of the important things that we think we did was to actually foster amongst the students the need to set up a South Asia student society. Because as you can imagine, there is an India society, there is a Pakistan society, there is a Sri Lanka society, there's a Bangladesh society, but there was no South Asia society. And my dream is that one day the South Asia Society will organize a cricket match, which will have a team of South Asians against a fully English team. But that is my dream for the moment. So one of the things that the South Asia Society does do very, very successfully is that every year the students organize something called the South Asia Development Conference. And on one such platform, Shahid was invited and he came to London and he spoke, and I had the privilege of being in that audience and heard him. And I don't need to tell anyone that he was magnificent. But if anyone wants to question what I'm saying, you're going to hear it now all over again. Shahid, do you want to start?
Thank you so much. Hi, Elizabeth, Sanjoy, and thank you, LSE. I wish I was there and had the honor of receiving that warm hug from Sanjoy. I think this is the second thing, and I'm very happy. Actually, I'm speaking from a house where Ajoka was born, and where Padiha is, her memories are all around, her work, her photographs, and all the beautiful things she collected from all over, especially from me. So this is a good place to be, to feel her presence and share that presence with you. I think as far as the political context is concerned, Adnan has very eloquently, recently put that context before, and Sanjoy obviously has really been the inspiration, and Svet has actually a witness to not only what Namit called Nadia Gaur, but also our meeting, Nadia and the meeting, and which it led to our this year operation.
Shahid, why put your video off because you're breaking?
Sorry?
I don't think there's enough strength in that signal because we're not being able
right.
to.
So should I So is it any better now, the audio?
Yeah, now carry on.
Okay. So basically, I think what is now what I want to emphasize is passion and the commitment and the devotion Madhya had. She was so definitely totally devoted to theater that everything was secondary. Myself, the family, her own health. For example, when she was ill and she had to had an operation in Delhi, then she arranged operation dates in such a way that we were supposed to have a festival there in Delhi, theater festival. So she organized the festival, attended the festival, and all the people realized on the last festival that on the next day she had an appointment at X hospital. And Adnan mentioned Caucasian Chalk Circle, Chalk Chakkar. Not only this was one of our first days as a director and as a artistic director of Joka, also that was her last play. The play, a new production of Chalk Chakkar was presented at the Pakistan National Council of Arts auditorium in Islamabad on 20th April, just 5 days before death. And even literally on the deathbed, she was directing new actors. A lot of were obviously the play, first production was in 1985, and then there had been several revivals. So literally, till her dying day, she was involved, couldn't get up, but she could listen to herself on downstairs, and she would come. Then she would, with the help of Walker, she would come to the balcony and see the costumes, check the costumes. She wanted to ensure that they are right costumes and people have taken care of the details. So that was the kind of commitment she had with theatre. The second thing is that, obviously, as it has been stressed, that the content of our plays, my plays, was socially relevant and always related to our social situation, although even the plays were based on mythology or adaptation of French, but still it's a very clear relevance to the audience. So that was one part of our contribution. The other was that she was always very, she considered the importance of aesthetics and cultural and theatrical sort of beautification of a production. So the use of music, the use of whatever setting she had decided, and the use of sound and humor and costumes. So she wanted to show that people who would come to see it of her plays had a good time, had an entertaining performance which gave them kind of aesthetic satisfaction, a cultural sort of enrichment, and at the same time also gave them some motivation to change things around them. So balance of maintaining and aesthetically satisfying form, very linked to the traditional theater of Punjab or South Asia, and temporary content. I think this combination was key to Ajoka's or Madiha's success. Because never a dull moment, even in very, very grim plays on grim themes like honor killing or sort of bright burning. But still, there was something which people were able to relate as something which gave them pride in their culture and also a kind of satisfaction. So she was able to establish all single-handedly that it's possible to theater in the most difficult times when there was strict censorship, there was a hostile government, and there was a very suspicious society which suspected that these people were somehow up to subversivity, and the problems of caste, the problems of finding female actors, the problems of finding a venue. So she almost single-handedly, for 30 years, she established that it is possible to carry on with theater which touches most taboo subjects, most bold subjects, and subjects which would sort of no one even would dare to discuss even private, like the issues of blasphemy or issue of the equality of Pakistan, peace with India, or treatment of religious minorities, especially of these. So she was able to all these issues, not only because of good scripts, but also because of her courage and her defiance. And she really loved a fight and almost always with that fight. So I think this is the phenomenon which we can we see very rarely. And Alhambra, we start from the house lawn, and then people. So there it was basically theater around, and then moved to Goethe Institute, which was a blessing. Because at that time no other venue was available. We found another lawn at the back of Goethe Institute building, and then we had stage, and then there we carried on for more than 12 years. And then finally, when the halls of arts councils opened for us, we were able to have more ambitious productions, more complex productions, and really experiment with new technology as well as the traditional form. So basically, I think that what she has shown as a woman and as a theater activist in Pakistan, that nothing is impossible if you have the commitment, if you have the courage, and theater is one platform where even when all other platforms have been denied to you, theater is still there, where you can almost get away with murder. You can challenge the ruling ideology, the religious dogma or ideological constraints, and you can do it in such a way that even those who are the target of your attacks, they also enjoy. They also either have a laugh or they are embarrassed. But they are. It is possible on the platform of theater in Pakistan even today to literally discuss any subject, but the way this subject is discussed, the way it is communicated is such that you don't have to really provoke extremist elements, and you keep on sort of expanding your space, finding more and more space, and we get more and more audience, we get young people, and we get people from different classes, and Yoga plays are really something which people who are denied this cultural expression society, because on the one hand there is ideological suppression, on the other hand there is this market oriented suppression of the media, which has really which denies the freedom of expression or the ambitions of people. But theater is there to this space is still there, where you can create new things. You can give a message of hope, and you can challenge the forces of oppression, of darkness. And Madhya had kept that that platform live and entertaining and well attended, and at the same time meaningful. And I'm sure Ajoka, with her legacy and with the memory and the inspiration which we get from her through her work and through the memories of what took her, I think we will carry on that journey. We are planning to have a theater festival in September in Madhya's memory, 3-day festival, celebrate her actorial work, and also have a retrospect of all her achievements over these decades. And we are getting a lot of support from all over, from young people and from cultural activists. And I think that as we record 15th of May, we have conference in Lahore celebrating Madhya. So really this is a life to be celebrated and to be cherished. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shahid, especially because this is something I want to say. I understand very well that this could not have been easy for you to do. Your connection and your involvement with Madhya is of an intensity and of a type that all of us who are admirers and appreciators and co-travelers can understand and imagine, but yours is completely different. I say this because the South Asia Center has recently, as with this evening, also had the privilege of hosting an event to celebrate, once again I use the word celebrate consciously, the life and the work of Asma Jahangir. And Asma's daughter Suleyma, who's over here at the moment, when she was speaking at that evening, I felt at that time as well that it is not easy for people so closely associated to speak with such intensity, and Suleyma and Munise were both here. So thank you very much. I am especially grateful, as are all of us over here, for your having agreed to speak at length about Madhya, about Madhya's work, about Ajoka, and of course, we all know what your contribution has been to this. We have 5 minutes to be very strict, but a little more if we can be lenient. In case there are any questions that anyone would want to ask to anyone. Yes, please do. Sure. Would you want to wait for the microphone, please? Shahid, can you hear?
Can you hear
me?
Yes,
yes.
Yes, I was very fortunate. I'm Perminder and I've worked in the arts here in different ways. About 10 years ago, when I was doing a lot of work around friendship initiatives, we called them, across Punjab, I was lucky to travel from Amritsar through Wagha and spend some time with Madhya and Shahid Sahib, and it was very inspirational and very emotional as well, because I come from a partition family. And I'm remembering all that today, as well as the stunning work and the whole ideology, I think, and the force of just nature that Madea was. And I thought that the one thing I wanted to say today was how could we actually initiate something, and you've made of it in memory of this amazing woman, but also the vision of Ajoka and the vision of, you know, some, it almost is banal to say that it aspires to equality, or it aspires. It's a different way of saying, you know, Siddhi Galle, ke assi ikko ya, you know, it's that kind of Punjabi thing, not even Punjabi, that in heart and soul, and that we are all one. And I think when you know that, and I'm amazed to hear that she came from Gujarat, I didn't know.
Her mother did, yes. Yes. Madiha's mother was...
So she had a mixed identity as well, and I'm just, you know, processing that. But in a sense, we are defined by our differences, and I think that she was able to transcend, or not even transcend it. She came from a space that kind of, you know, just gave her an amazing vision. So I maybe we could start something in London, mm-hmm. but certainly have a lecture or something, and to bring newer generations to the incredible legacy of Ajoka. That's kind of just sure. what I wanted.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Is there anyone else who Suleyma wants to speak? And
I don't have a question, but I have a small comment, which I think the audience may enjoy. My mother and Madiha went to jail together in 1983, and they were in there for I think about 2 weeks maybe or so. And as when they went to jail, I was about 4 years old, and my elder sister was about six. And we were quite upset that my mother was in jail. And when they came out, and all her friends came round to our house, and we started feeling very upset, and we said, why did you, what happened in jail, and were you treated very badly, etc. So they all laughed, and I remember that's one of my earliest memories. And they said, no, we had a grand time because we sang all night, we didn't have to go to bed on time, and people came and gave us chocolates and cakes, and so we just ate sweets and sang and danced all night. So I always had a vision of my mother dancing with her in jail. And after that, we fought with them for days and days. We didn't speak to them because we said, "Maze sare kele kele aur hamare bagair." other things with us, but maze kele kele. That you didn't take us to prison with you. So that was one of my earliest memories of her and Madiha.
Sure. Thank you very much, Suleyma. Shema, Jay wanted to ask a question.
Thank you. My name is Jay Vishwadev. I've been producing arts and music for over 42 years. I met Madiha in the early 80s. She used to come to many of the concerts that I produced. And it was also during the time when Badal Sarkar Saab was here in the early 80s. Had a pleasure of meeting him. But all I would like to say is that I'd like to see Madiha's legacy presented here in UK, and I'd be honored to participate and also to produce it in UK with other organization. I think she was one of the most committed arts person I ever met from Pakistan. And I've been going to Pakistan for the last 37 years. And I know it has been extremely difficult for people involved in the arts to work freely and independently. And she had the guts, courage to produce what she did best. And I think her legacy should be made a living legacy, that her work should be performed and pay tribute in that possible way. And I think I'd love to participate at some point. And if people can connect with me, I can take it forward. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much. That's a very generous and kind offer. Was there anyone else? Sorry, sir, were you going to say something? Okay. Yeah, 1 second. Sorry, if you use the microphone, it'll help us in our recording. That's all.
I'm not sure whether I should ask this or not, but I would really like to know what were her last wishes. What is it, what she has left for us to do in her own conversations with Shahid Bhai and her friends?
Shahid, the question is, what were Madiha's last wishes and what, if anything, has she left either incomplete, undone, or which you would like carried forward so that that can perhaps be a starting point to celebrate a legacy. Would you like to speak?
Yeah, I think there were two things which she felt very strongly and which also sort of she was quite desperately eager to express through theater, through other forms of activism. One was interaction in other parts through festivals and tours and celebrations, which we have been doing over like last even two decades, but in recent years it has become almost impossible to get visas or have interaction. So that was one thing which she was keen to renew and keep it going. And I am quite happy to say that her reference, it was quite miraculous. And again, I think thanks to Mia's memories that Pakistan High Commission, in a matter of 2 days, gave visas to 8 members of Indian delegation, theater activists and directors like Keval Dhaliwal and Nilam Man Singh. And the other thing she very strongly was the treatment of religious minorities, cases of blasphemy or cases of discrimination against Christians. And there also she thought that Ajoka could do much more and the society should be open to sort of express the anger and rage the way the state and the fundamentalist groups are engaged in this kind of discrimination. So I think these were two areas where Madiha felt very strongly about in the last last years of her life, and we hope that somehow we are able to we will be able to carry on as she wished us to do.
Great, thank you very much. Was there anyone else who wanted to say anything? Right, now there was you did. I mean, if I can just keep talking till the mic reaches you. There has been one question which has come up in various ways, which is, what should we do and how shall we attempt to carry this forward or some way or the other, whether, madam, it was you who was saying it or sir, if it was you, you who was saying it. I don't want to miss this chance to say that, just give me a minute, arts, culture, performative arts is not quite the profile of LSE. And it has been an interesting it's been an interesting experience trying to do something about it. But I'll give you a very specific Pakistan-specific example, because this is a perfect context for it. Last year, the South Asia Center organized a two-day event in Karachi called Pakistan at 70. And over 2 days, we had 4 panel discussions. Now, a week before that, we'd also done an India at 70, and then we did a Pakistan at 70. And we had to have 4 panel discussions. And the themes and the topics for the panel discussions came up for discussion. And I suggested that we will have a panel discussion on art and modernity in Pakistan, art and modernity. Doesn't matter what it took to help convince, but I did manage to push it through. And I was constantly told that you're going to have this summit in the auditorium of the IBA campus in Karachi, and no one's going to come. And whoever is over there, because the panel discussion before that was on the constitution of Pakistan. So everyone told me that whoever's going to there, the minute you start the panel discussion, everyone's going to get up and go, and it's going to be extremely embarrassing. You would be amazed how many people were there. And they were the same people who were actually there for the constitution panel. And how many questions we had. And at the end of it, the event management company who had helped us execute the entire summit, one of the members of the event management summit said, you know, we do so many of these sorts of things. I don't think I myself have actually heard this kind of a panel. So there is a battle to be fought at various levels. And our initiative at the South Asia Center is to continue to do that. We are taking baby steps because of our own resources. But one of the things that we do want to do is to take this forward in some form or the other, and I will not forget the very generous offer that you have made. And I will be very good. I have this tremendous ability to remind people of promises they have made to me. And I will no doubt reach out to you. But thank you very much once again. It is something that we need to think. The reason why we need to think about how we are going to do what we are going to do is because we want it to be effective. And we want to do something that we can continue and not do as a one-off. So it's going to take a bit of time. We would like to involve others in other areas. I have, for a very strange reason that emanates from a very, very different part of my very long life, actually been involved in protest theater in Sri Lanka. And that is very, very interesting, especially in the term of Jayawardene. And Ranjini Obasekere has this fantastic book called Sri Lankan Theatre in the Time of Terror, which for some peculiar reason I was involved in that. But so there is a lot to do at the South Asia level. There is a lot to do, you know, at the level of Pakistan or individual countries. All the countries need it. If we are to go by what Sanjoy just said, we could start with America and end in Philippines, but I don't want to be that ambitious. And
I actually wanted to share one of the memory I cherish about Madhya Guhar. When I came to Government College Lahore as a fresh undergraduate, I met Madhya Guhar. We used to have a debate about the acting, if it's just a mimicry of other characters or there's a genuine creative art which actor or actresses, they design it for themselves. So she invited me to the PTV station. She introduced me to Nusrat Thakur. At that time, the day I went to PTV theater, she was PTV. They were producing that Azab-e-Agahi, one of the drama at that time, and she showed me how they produce dramas and how it's not just a mimicry, but it's more a creative act they do. And she also, then after that, I got to know her more, that she is one of those restless souls who represented the resistance of the time, a non-conformist. Mm-hmm. So we had a first lesson of being a rebel, being resistant to the government at that time. And the government at that time was General Zia's government, which Suleyma has just mentioned. That period was right after that when I left Government College Lahore. Yeah. So she was, to me, true representation of what Ajoka Theatre stands for.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think, would you like to speak? Just wait for the microphone so we can record it, and we'll end with this because I understand it's getting late. It's past midnight. midnight for Shahid, so we need to bear that in mind. And Elizabeth has I hope, hungry guests. Yeah, Shahid, we'll come back to you at the end. Just give us a minute. Yeah.
Just speak into the mic. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Just speak a bit loudly so they can hear you.
I've seen many of Ajoka Theatre's plays, and I've been usually inspired by them growing up. I still think that Ajoka's original Dara was far superior to the National Theatre one. And I told Shahid Saab this the last time that we met as well. I just wanted to say that I run something called Funoon London with another colleague of mine, and we promote South Asian art and culture in London. And it is very much with the same ethos that we are all the same people. Exactly. That we are the same people. We have the same culture, the same heritage. And invariably, we've seen over the past few years that we've run Funoon that many of the things, whether it's theater or it's film or it's poetry or spoken word or literature, ends up being about resistance, ends up being about human rights, ends up being about a lot of the things that are important for us. And as activists in our day jobs, this is something that's very important to us. So I would like to just also offer our help along with Jay, and say that if you guys ever decide to do something, we'd be honored to be a part and would be very happy to support in whatever way.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm afraid I must now draw this to a close because it's getting quite late for everyone. But can I begin with thanking all the guests who came? It's a very interested, invested, and important audience that we have. Can I please thank Adnan, whose idea it was that we do this event? Can I please thank Sanjoy, who has made a special trip to London only for this? Can I please thank Elizabeth, who has guests waiting for her? And can I please thank Shahid for various reasons, but most importantly for giving us that very brief glimpse of the house where Ajoka was born, as well as for all the things you said. And I will be sure to follow up in due course, in some way or the other, and I hope, I cannot promise, but I hope that we are able to do something that is meaningful, even if it is just once a year in London. But thank you very much. And Shahid, Shahid, I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak. Yeah. But all I wanted to say was that I hope through this very small event of ours, you know that in as much as we share your grief, we also share the celebration of an extremely brilliant and wonderful and creative life that was very happily lived. Yes, please speak now, Shahid.
Thank you so much, everyone. And it has really been an inspiration to share your memories and your views about the question that what can be done to support Ajoka's work and Madhya's legacy. I have a suggestion. We have a group called Friends of Ajoka in Pakistan who are supporting, advising, and mobilizing support for our work. So if there is any possibility of setting up a small group in UK or in London, whom we can revert to or contact in case we need any guidance, any support. Like sometimes, right now we are looking for someone to help our website make it more dynamic, and we don't have the resources to afford a professional web developer. This kind of support, advice, or organizing events in London, maybe hosting Joker's play whenever possible. So this is just one idea which someone can up in London, and then we can see where it takes us.
Thank you very much, Shahid. I will be in touch with you about this, but what I do want to mention to everyone as well as to you is that our website, which is the South Asia Center's website, has a page on event archives. And the information about this event will move to that page after today. And when this recording is available, and we upload this recording, which takes a bit of time, but it does get done. Over there, and I will correspond with you in between, and over there we will put up additional information about how we can be in touch with various people to take forward any such initiatives. But for the moment, thank you everyone, and good evening.
Okay. Thank you, Sanjay. You look great.
Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Elizabeth, good to see you.
No, it's fine.
Do you know why I like your job? Because you can wear that and I can't.
Thank you very much. May I take your email address, please? No, that's all right. I can write it.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much. Yeah, I know what's up about you, but I'm really sorry we had to cut this slightly at the end. Just be careful,
Thank you.